Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt Miller had some fun with what happened in week one, picking up the phone, getting some calls, some emails, some texts from people in positions of power around the league who are emboldened when you don't put a name on it. And we just went through all 10, reading each quote and enjoying it. Matt Miller with us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Is a column like that as much fun to research and write as it is to read?
You know, it's funny, guys. Sometimes you just get lucky, right? And so we're sitting around talking about what's my article going to be early this week. I try to do an early in the week article, and then Friday mornings my scouting notebook comes out, and it's like, you know, let's just do something like who's the most overrated players in the NFL. And my editor was like, yeah, if you think you get enough material, let's try it and see. And the material we got was so good. It was like, maybe we need to do this every week. So it is fun. And, you know, people on Twitter come at you and like, there's no way these quotes are real. And I think a lot of people forget that scouts and coaches and GMs, they're just like us. Like they have a sense of humor. They might be, you know, a little bit better than us at watching football, and they might get paid to do it, but like they're still human beings. It's not like they're all robots. So I think that is fun to, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years. So to be able to tap in and some of those, you know, relationships you build over a lot of beers late at night on the road can pay off when you can do something like that.
I love the Twitter eggs that came after you saying that these quotes are made up, as though you'd wasted an entire career just making up some quotes and attributing to someone and making sure no one ever talked to you again. I love that part of life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wonder, Matt, when you went through, Russell Wilson was part of this this little column that you wrote here, or I don't know, roundabout that you wrote. The Russell Wilson overrated thing is very interesting to me, especially because the Bears are playing him this coming week. How much of that is because of the offensive line? How much of that is because he has no weapons? How much of that is him? How much of that is his reputation, do you feel? I mean, it's all, there's so much with him.
There is, and I like, I am so torn on Russell Wilson, even just how I feel about him, you know, as a player. Like, is he good? Like, is he a franchise quarterback? And one thing that I thought was interesting in the article was, and I wrote in the intro, there's many times where these opinions contradict, and there's one person said, hey, Russell Wilson might be the most overrated quarterback in the whole league. I think some of it is the reputation. You had this guy who, because we love Cinderella stories, right? So you have this 5'10", third-round pick at quarterback who comes out and gets to two Super Bowls and wins one, almost wins another really quickly in his career. And he got so much of the praise for it. And I think something that we've seen the fallout there from a lot of the guys on the defense who have left have said, you know, hey, Russ got too much praise and he was held to a different standard than us. So I do think some of that factors in, but and obviously when you come out and throw, what, he threw three picks last week or two picks last week, I mean, that's not great, especially against a defense like Denver that still has a pretty good pass rush. But, you know, they're still kind of, you know, going through a change of their own out there. So I think that's a lot of it with Russell Wilson is also, I feel like his, like, you almost get like a grace period with the media sometimes as a player. You know, like Garoppolo definitely has one right now. He was awful Sunday, and no one's really going at him. I think Russell Wilson's grace period has worn off a little bit, where people are going to start being pretty critical if he doesn't improve and if he can't carry the team on his own.
I will admit to an element of surprise, because when I saw how you laid out the criteria for, you know, hey, it's been 1 week, and everybody knows it's been 1 week, but what are you thinking? I was very surprised that by the time I finished scrolling that I didn't see somebody saying, you know, meanwhile, this Mitchell Trubisky sucks in the pocket and under pressure and his feet are all over the place and he's dropping his eyes, or that somebody didn't say, well, so much for Matt Nagy being an offensive genius. Yeah. Let's see if this guy can coach his way out of a wet paper bag. I was, I guess, pleasantly surprised to see that those weren't quotes you gathered, or maybe they're just ones you didn't use.
Well, do you want to know the truth?
Yes.
I wrote this so early on, like, Sunday, collecting the information that it was before your guys' game. So that could all change. We could see
great.
What happens if it becomes a weekly feature. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I honestly, my honest feel around the league is that The only negative thing I heard about Nagy all week was someone said, I thought he would be more aggressive than that. And what I said back to this guy was, man, that's easy to say when Aaron Rodgers isn't on the other sideline. You know, you want to be aggressive, but there's an element of that where you're like, dang it, man, here comes Rodgers out of that freaking tunnel to start the second half, and now we got to deal with him again. And it's easy to let that get in your head a little bit. And it's the dude's first game as a head coach. And because of the control Andy Reid had, it's really his first game completely calling a game as an offensive coordinator. So I think we're gonna see him get into a rhythm and a groove. And even with Trubisky, like, it's game one against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they were up 20-0. I don't know how much blame you can put on the offense for, you know, yet sure they only got, what, 3 points in the second half, but I don't get the feeling that anyone's panicking. And I got burned before because I said, I shared a quote from, I think, a player personnel guy right after Ryan Pace's first draft in Chicago where they got Leonard Floyd, and he said, you know, he's going to get fired for this. And people are like, oh, well, now look how good he's doing. So there have been overreactions before, and I don't think anyone would protect Trubisky just because he's Trubisky. So it seems like everyone's really trying to be patient with this.
Matt, I want to go back to the quote you got about Nagy saying that he thought he'd be more aggressive than this. I thought he would be too, and that's based on what Matt said during the preseason. And something that's been biting me as I've gone back and watched that game a couple of times is the screen game that the Bears decided to run, and when they decided to run it, back-to-back screens that got blown up, and the six of them they ran, all of them, only one went for over 3 yards. How does that play into his overall scheme? Did you feel that was something that held Mitch back in terms of trying to go downfield later on in the game? It's just that part of it, I can't let that part of it go.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And so much of it, I think, relates to your game plan, like what you saw on film. And even though it's week one, right? So you're just trying to do the best you can, and the Packers have a new defensive coordinator, so things have changed. But I think you look at it and say, okay, we feel like we can, you know, we have an advantage against these linebackers. Let's go screen game. And they have defensive linemen who are very athletic and get way upfield. So, and you have fast backs and Tariq Cohen, and Jordan Howard looks quicker. So you probably feel like, okay, we have an advantage here with our skill set versus theirs. And I would say that's more like a lack of in-game adjustment to see, like you said, like, okay, you know what? This really isn't working. Maybe we need to go at guys a little bit more. But like, I thought the Packers corner Kevin King played Allen Robinson really well. And so it really, and I haven't gone back and watched the coach's tape, I'll be honest with you about that, but watching the game real time, it didn't seem like to me that, you know, outside of some just inaccurate throws, that they left a whole lot on the field. But I would have loved to have seen some adjustments to try to utilize a little bit more of guys like Anthony Miller to try to, you know, almost try to more zone and option routes where you can just find some openings, because I thought Robinson really, and I know I think he ended up with like four catches, but I thought they did a great job of scheming for him. I thought we'd see Taylor Gabriel utilized a little bit more, and I really thought Anthony Miller would have more than the two catches he had.
Did you think Sam Darnold had that in him this early in his career?
Yeah, man. That was one of my favorite things about Darnold, was that he doesn't get those like, oh, the moment's too big for me. You know, I can't handle this. I remember watching him as the first year starter at USC. He comes in after they limp out to a bad start, and he takes them to a Rose Bowl win. And in the Rose Bowl, the comeback win was so huge. And my co-host of my podcast, Connor, is a huge Jets fan, and I was texting him, giving him crap early in the game. I was like, oh man, the game looks a little fast for your boy, and obviously a joke. But after that first pick, you really want to see how a guy's going to handle that, where it's just a really badly designed play, and you throw a very easy pick, and Quandre Diggs takes it back. And to see how he responded to that, I think is why I've definitely had Sam Darnold as my number one quarterback. And I think a lot of teams around the league did too, just because he's not going to let that affect him mentally. He's not going to start, you know, just trying to throw singles. He's still going to take his shots down the field. And you know, we really saw him warm up, and offensive coordinator Jeremy Bates ended up calling a really good game for him down the stretch. But man, I didn't think they were going to come out quite like that. The Jets are a fun team to watch right now, and they're not even healthy. I think they're going to be, once they get Marcus May back and figure out their wide receiver rotation a little bit, they could be kind of quietly dangerous this year.
Going to the collegiate level, Ohio State gets TCU this weekend. It'll be, let's see, it's at Arlington, in Arlington at AT&T Stadium, number 4 versus 15. And you've got a quote this morning from an NFC West team saying that Bosa, Nick Bosa, should declare for the draft right now and never play another snap for free. How serious was he when he said that to you?
Oh, very. Completely. Yeah. There's a feeling this year with Nick Bosa and Ed Oliver that it's almost like, what is the NCAA doing to these guys? You know, it's just because they're flawless as prospects. And it's not like either guy has character issues where you really want to wait and see for another year. Like, is he going to be able to stay out of trouble? Is he going to go to class? Is he going to go to the weight room? There are no questions with these guys. It's just, it reminds me so much of Jalen Smith, where we just held our breath all season. Like, please, God, do not let this kid get hurt. Please don't let him get hurt. And then the Fiesta Bowl comes around and he gets hurt. And it's just, I told Dan before, like, I wanted to throw up when that happened, because it was disgusting to see a guy who was, he had perfect grades from some teams. Like, I mean, perfect, best linebacker we've ever seen. And then he gets hurt in his last game for nothing, you know, for really a meaningless bowl game. And I think now with Bosa and Oliver, every week you're watching Twitter to make sure that you don't see an injury pop up. And TCU is a good team. Like, that's going to be a good test for Bosa. They traditionally are very, very good at offensive tackle. They're well coached. It's going to be a big game on the road, like you said, at Arlington. So, yeah, I mean, there's value in watching him against those guys. But, I mean, we've seen him against pro-level offensive linemen for years in the Big Ten. So there aren't really any questions that still need answered with him. It's just a matter of, you know, is he going to get enough sacks to win a Heisman or something? And you hope and pray that he doesn't get hurt.
I know we joke about this sometimes when we look at some of the repeat names of schools on your big board each year, but this was from ProFootballTalk.com. On week one rosters, Alabama had 44 players in the NFL. After Alabama, LSU had 40. Florida had 37. Miami and Ohio State had 36 each. The other schools with more than 30, Florida State and USC. And then it's Clemson at 29. Auburn and Georgia had 28. Stanford, Tennessee, and UCLA with 27. Iowa, Michigan, and Notre Dame all had 26. There really isn't – we can overthink where to find talent.
You know,
For every guy that comes out of Texas, San Antonio, or he bubbles up from Kent State or wherever it may be.
Or Buffalo.
Yeah. This really isn't that difficult to know who to scout and know which schools you need to watch, is it?
No, and it's, you know what my takeaway as you're listening to those schools is, there aren't very many north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Right, yep.
You know, it's, there's good football players in the South. That's weird. And, you know, like, we're going to Austin this weekend to watch USC Texas. And even that game, like, Texas is down, USC is barely in the top 25. There are so many prospects in that game. And, you know, 2 weeks after that, it's Iowa State TCU to see TCU in person. And then it's Georgia LSU. Like, it's, you really don't have to guess. It's, you know, hey, Alabama's going to have 20 kids every year that we have to scout. And, guess what? LSU, even though they might struggle at some spots, they're going to have 10 kids we got to scout every year. And I think the outlier this year would be Ed Oliver at Houston. You know, it's not a big school, but, and I get asked every week, why did he go to Houston? Why, this kid was the number one player in his class. He wanted to stay home. He wanted to try to turn that program around. So he's going to be, I guess, the outlier this year. But it's a whole lot of Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Clemson, Georgia, Auburn. When I'm sitting here actually glancing at my big board because I'm updating it this morning. You know, if you take Ohio State and Michigan out, there's not a whole lot of teams, even north of where I live in southwest Missouri, there's not very many teams where we're driving or flying north to watch players.
I have a history of making players bad, especially quarterbacks that I like. Yeah, NHL goaltenders, some basketball players, and, you know, I'll call it the curse of Christian Hackenberg. But I told you a year ago what I thought of Jarrett Stidham, and I continue to watch him. I continue to see pro quarterback traits, and apparently I'm increasingly not alone. I might have been somewhat early to that party, but it looks like the tent is getting full with people who appreciate his skill set.
Yeah, it is, man. And it's only going to get fuller as the season goes on. I think a lot of people are having a hard time like reconciling the fact that this was a Baylor kid who transferred and he got hurt last year, so you didn't get to see a ton of him. But Watch week one against Washington. And that's everything that you want to see from a prospect, right? And that's against Washington has Taylor Rapp and Byron Murphy, two of the top underclassmen secondary players in the whole country. They're probably both going to be first-round picks whenever they come out. And he shredded them. And it's special. And he's doing that without, like, great wide receiver play. You know, Auburn is loaded on defense, and then they have Stidham. And he has a chance to be really, really fun as a prospect. I think I've told you guys before, I see a lot of Mitch Trubisky in him. I see a lot of Tony Romo and just his ability to make plays on the rollout and his field vision. And he's a good athlete, even though, you know, he's like 6'3", probably 225. So he's kind of got a stout build. But he is a really, really fun prospect. And Justin Herbert at Oregon's a good one, too. That I have something in my scouting notebook tomorrow about him that I keep hearing scouts say, you know, this kid's a little soft. We really hope he plays for 4 years here because he just needs to mature and toughen up. And with Stidham, you don't get that. You talk to anyone who's been through Auburn already, the summer scouting players, and they'll tell you, like, you got to get this kid higher on your board. And I'm like, he's already in the top 10. And they're like, no, you have to get him higher, you know, put him up there in the range where he's going to be the first quarterback drafted.
How much of the first 2 weeks of tape affected Northwestern quarterback Clayton Thorson? He's not healthy. He's got the snap count thing going on. Can he rebound from two rough weeks, or is that something where you just kind of write him off and wait for a combine for him to show that he's healthy and has skills and traits?
Yeah, guys, teams are all over the map with him, and I'll tell you, I am too. Like I think I told you before, I think he's a mid-round type quarterback. I think he probably would have been a late round quarterback had he come out last year in a really deep class. So yeah, I think you try to be aware, and that's why like good scouts actually know football. You know, they either their dads were coaches or maybe they coached or they played at a decent level in college, and they kind of know the game enough to where when they go through Northwestern and watch the tape, they can say like, yeah, the snap count thing is weird and he's hurt. So you try to look more at the traits than the production. And yeah, you'll get to the Senior Bowl, hopefully. If he's smart, he will be at the Senior Bowl as long as he's healthy. And then the Combine and then a Pro Day where you can really, you know, we saw it last year with Josh Allen. Everyone all year, Josh Allen sucks. He's not any good. He shouldn't be a first-round pick. And then the Senior Bowl, Combine, individual workouts, Pro Day, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, maybe this kid might be the first pick in the draft again. He's definitely going to be a top 10 pick. So I think with Thorson, like January through April matter, honestly, at this point in his career, more than September through November, because he is playing hurt. He's playing in an offense that maybe isn't going to correlate very well to what he's asked to do in the pros. So I wouldn't hit the panic button, but I do think some of the hype that he got, whether it was last year or this year, was a little unwarranted based on what we've seen on film.
Matt, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Talk to you next week.
That is Matt Miller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.